Won't you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26? The title of this morning's message is Look at Me, Lord. Look at Me, Lord. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read a number of passages. It's going to be the same story in a few different accounts. And I want you to pay attention to the difference in the details of the four accounts that we will read together. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 31 is where we're starting. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And now, verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then he went out and wept bitterly. I'm reading from the New King James, and I'm going to read the story a second time from the Gospel of Mark. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. For those of you who are new to the faith, allow me to explain how the Bible is actually put together. And I say this because we should never assume that the people sitting in the pew around us know as much or as little as we do about the Bible. The truth is that we've got a lot of people who are in the church who've never really been churched before, and people who don't know how to read, and people, I mean, how to read the scriptures, and don't know how to read these verses in a way that brings life. And so I want to assume that everybody's just at beginner level. And if you are an expert in these things, then sit tight, be patient, and consider those around you. Here's how the Bible's put together. You have 66 books in this library, 66 books that are put together in what we have as the Old Testament, that's 39 of them, and the New Testament, 27 books. And some of the books are just a page, they're a letter, it's called a book, but they're letters perhaps. They're all broken up into chapters and verses, and so that they're easy to find your way around. The Old Testament is everything that took place before Jesus and the beginning, the turn of the first century AD. Before Christ, all that stuff that was in ancient history was what we call the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, we got something new. It's called the New Testament, and that's from the time Jesus was born, or just prior to Jesus' birth, until the end of the first century AD. The books of the New Testament were written during that period. We're working in the New Testament today, and the first four books of the New Testament tell the same stories from different perspective. The first four books of the New Testament are what we call the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew and John were disciples of Jesus, actually numbered with the 12. Jesus had 12 disciples, what we called apostles, that were the closest ones to him, to whom he imparted the gifts of the Holy Spirit and entrusted them with the message of the gospel, which he taught them over a season of about 3 years, kind of like a hands-on Bible school, where he taught them both theology and practical way to live out the Christian life and to know, most especially, to know the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. And so the 12 apostles were the ones that were closest to him, and they were the ones who ended up being the leaders of the church when the church was born after Jesus' resurrection. Matthew and John were two of those apostles. Mark was not one of the apostles, but he was with them probably a majority of the time, a lot of the time. He shows up in the story. You'll actually see, well, there was evidence of him in the Gospel of Mark. There's evidence of him there. But Mark actually is kind of writing the story on behalf of Peter. Peter was one of the apostles. He was the fisherman. There were a number of fishermen, but he was the fisherman. And Peter was traditionally the really outspoken one. He was a little bit crass. He didn't have trouble using bad language until God changed him up and changed the way he thought. And he ends up being one of the most prominent of the leaders of the New Testament church. And a wonderful, wonderful example. And you're going to read some things about him today. But anyway, the Gospel of Mark is what is we believe it to be Peter's story told through Mark. So Mark's actually the scribe writing it down while Peter is telling. That's traditionally how we accept that. The Gospel of Luke is not written by one of the disciples or the apostles of Jesus. But Luke, of course, was a Christian. He traveled with the apostle Paul. And Luke was a physician and an historian. He liked to collect information and write the stuff down and get eyewitness accounts and try and make it as precise and true to the story as possible. So Luke's gospel story is actually a compilation of stories that he probably gathered from eyewitnesses and stories that had been collected by those who knew the eyewitnesses and the apostles. So Luke's gospel tells a slightly different perspective to Matthew's and Mark's. John's gospel is probably the most different of the four, and he writes from a perspective of having known Jesus really intimately. He writes much later, after the other ones have been written, probably 20, maybe 30 years. Some believe it may even have been 50 years after the event, and he writes some things from a personal perspective. He's very poetic in his writing, and so his perspective is really important, but doesn't fall in the same category as those first three. So anyway, that's a little bit of background for you. I hope you don't mind the little lesson in how to read the Bible, but I think it's beneficial. So when you open up the New Testament, you start to read. You get through Matthew and you start Mark, and it's the same story again, and you're trying to figure out, wait, didn't I just read this? You did. Read it again. It's good for you. Okay, so Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 27, and Jesus is predicting Peter's denial. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." So far, it's word for word exactly the same as the Gospel of Matthew. But Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Not quite sure why there's discrepancy between Matthew and Mark, but it doesn't make it any the less true. Matthew just didn't know that the rooster was going to crow twice. But Mark did, because Peter was telling Mark the story, and Jesus was the one who told Peter the rooster's going to crow twice. So anyway, I don't think it makes that much of a difference to the actual story, except that somewhere in the middle of it, Peter did get a warning. Hey, wait a second. The rooster's crowing, and I'm denying. But he kept on going. He spoke more vehemently, saying, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Moving over to verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. There you have it. There's the warning. The first time around, he doesn't pay any attention. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. So, there we have Peter denying three times, the rooster crowing twice. I want you now to turn to the Gospel of Luke, and let's read the same story there. Luke chapter 22, we'll start in verse 31. And even though we're doing a study of the Gospel of Matthew, I'm actually going to be speaking a little bit more from the Gospel of Luke, because there's some things that Luke brings out that I just want to hone in on, that I think are very important for us in this passage, and they're very important for us in our lives. I really, really believe God is going to set some of you free today from some of your misconception about the Lord. I want you to pay attention as we listen. And the Lord said, verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. One translation says, Satan has demanded you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And then verse 54. Then having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, This man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, You are also one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently confirmed, saying, Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately, when he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61, here it is. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. All right, we're going to come back to that. So keep your finger in Luke. But I want you to turn to John, the Gospel of John. We're going to look at the fourth perspective here. John chapter 13, verse 36 and 38, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Is this fun? You guys enjoying it so far? Yeah, it's kind of fun, hey? Paging through your Bible, going to the same story again and again. Ever watch that show, Monk? Anybody ever seen that? I want you to be like Monk right now. I want you to just kind of... I want you to look at these four different passages and I want you to piece together what happened. When I've been a preacher here for 50 years, I want you guys to be better preachers than me. I want you to be better Bible scholars than me. I want you to know all the tools I know. I want you to be teaching me stuff instead of me teaching you. In fact, I don't just want to do that 50 years. I'd like to do that right now. So I'm going to give you as many of the things as I can, just sideline stuff. I'm going to toss things out at you, and if you're awake and you're listening, you can pick them up and put them into practice. Because God desires that you become a scholar of His Word. You need to study His Word. His Word is not just going to jump out of the pages of the Bible and come running across the bedroom floor and jump up into bed and smack you in the head while you're sleeping. It's not going to work like that. You've got to open it up and start to read. And when you read, you've got to start asking questions. And when you ask questions, if you can't find the answers, you've got to read other people's answers to those questions. And then you've got to get alone with the Lord and start to ask Him, God, what do you mean here? And the more you understand the Scripture, the more familiar you are with the older texts, the more the newer texts are going to come to life, and you're going to start seeing correlations between things, and the Spirit of the Lord will begin to speak to you. And when the Word of God begins to burn on your heart, you will not be able to keep your mouth shut. All your neighbors will get saved. I'm just telling you.
Hallelujah.
I'm just telling you. The reason why you're so slow about getting out there and evangelizing your neighbors is because you just don't have a message. You don't have anything to tell them. That's it. And it's hard to get up and tell anybody anything. You feel like a salesman who's got nothing to sell. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God, you won't be able to shut up. That's why I preach so long. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me afterward. Whoa. Wow. That's huge. That is so huge. Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow. You shall follow me afterwards. Jesus is saying, You're not going to die with me now, Peter. There will come a day when you die with me. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? Isn't that our question? Why can't I follow you now, Jesus? Why can't I do it now? Why can't we have your best for me now? I want to follow, even if I have to die for you, I want to do it now, Jesus. I don't want to have to wait for some other time. I am with you. We're right here. I am willing to stand with you. And Jesus says, not now. Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. I'll tell you, there's a good reason why God doesn't want us to follow him to death right now. Why God didn't want Peter then, and why I think the Lord is probably saying this to you. The reason is that while you and I are still full of ourselves and full of our self-confidence, we are useless to God. We are useless to God. His purposes will not be fulfilled because we are confident in our own strength. We're confident in the arm of our flesh. We're confident that we can make it happen. We've got our creativity that can make this happen. We've got our business smarts that can make this happen. We've got all of our assets that can make this happen. We're saying, Jesus, I know how to speak, or I know how to do this. I can make this happen. And the Lord says, no, until you realize that your strength is actually incredibly weak and you cannot stand on your own. Until you've gone through this incredibly humbling experience, Peter, you cannot follow me. But good news is you will. You will, because I've got a purpose for your life, and the purpose of your life is the humbling of Peter. Okay, John chapter 18, verse 15 through 18, and then there's a little pause, and then we come back in verse 25. Okay, John chapter 18 and verse 15 says this, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. Oh, and here's a little part that we didn't get before. Come on, monk. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you're not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you're not also one of his disciples, are you? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter had cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Okay, let's go back to Luke, and let's look at the story from Luke's perspective. Let's talk about it there. We're in Luke chapter 22.